It's the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. All right. Tomorrow, we got a big day. It's going to be Defeat It Forward Day. We're really going to try to come together as a community and help these folks out of Metropolitan Ministries. You know, just because we're stuck inside and we can't get out doesn't mean we can't help. We're going to be doing a virtual food drive. We're going to be asking you to go to theboneonline.com, click on a link, and that link will take you over to where you can donate. And then our friends at Pepin and Great Bay are going to match whatever we do, and we're trying to bankrupt them tomorrow. We really are. I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying they got big money. Might as well try to bankrupt them. On the phone with us right now is our fearless leader. This is the handsome sheriff, Chad Cronister. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
Listen, it's much more effective than an ugly sheriff. Let's just be honest. I don't want to stare at an ugly sheriff on TV. We're lucky you're good looking. Ron DeSantis is an even bad looking guy.
No, another good looking dude, you know, with the Ivy League education. Can't beat that.
Yeah. So have you getting any sleep? Are you getting to relax at all? I mean, this is a crazy time.
I haven't, not yet. I thought Easter was going to be a day off and got a bunch of phone calls Easter about some problems we had Saturday night here in the city of Tampa with 100 people gathering outside a convenience store and acting like the pandemic's over. So that and even Easter was some, there was a restaurant down in Waimama that had people seated outside and was serving them. So again, I don't know what people don't understand. We it's working. We just have to stay home and stay away from each other.
I tell you what they don't understand. It's kind of hard to see, like, because if it hasn't directly affected you, if someone in your family didn't die, or if you're not sick for some reason, you're in denial if you put it out of your head. But if you just, I was this morning, I went online at the live Earthlink cams, and I was looking around the world. I started in Times Square, then I went to Italy. Everything is completely dead. Everybody is inside. If that's not enough to tell you that we need to be doing that, then I don't know what is. I want to go to the beach, too. I want to go to the shooting range. I want to go out there and do some fun stuff. We can't. People are dying. And to hear these governors getting on TV talking about how many hundreds of people died in their town or in their state, rather, in the night before is ridiculous that people can't understand that.
Well, that's the report we got the other day when we decided to implement a curfew, which is a difficult decision. We'll have to get some clarity on what exactly that means at tomorrow's emergency policy group meeting. But they were saying, look at our numbers. Look how they're skyrocketing. Look how they're going up. And they told us that they think that only 10% of the numbers are being reported. We're like, ooh, okay, this is problematic. And then they started talking about the masks. CDC recommends it. Do we need to take further actions there? Like I said, tough decisions. But again, their decisions to try to get people to follow the orders because we know it's the only thing that will work.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get hopefully at some point some sort of vaccine. But until that point, we need to really slow this down. I go to Publix a lot because I'm shopping for my family. I'm shopping for my in-laws. I'm shopping for my mother. It's people who can't get out to the store for one reason or another. And I was late to wearing the mask. Not because I didn't believe it. I just, first of all, I felt like I looked stupid. And then I was super healthy. But now I'm in there pretty much in a ninja hood. I look like a fat ninja going out there and buying cereal.
That's smart. And I tell you what, it's, you know, I find myself in a lot of the same situations when I go and I'm like, oh, okay, no big deal. And I have to remember, hey, listen, it's not even me. You know, you're going home to your wife and kids. I'm going home to my wife and son. I'm like, that's the scary part. I hate to be the person responsible for bringing it home. And a lot of places in the inner city here, we're finding where a lot of these individuals, these young adults feel that they're impervious to the disease, that they're not going to get it. But they're going home and they're living with mom, they're living with grandmother, and that's the part we're fearful of. But I have to tell you, a vast majority of the population's doing the right thing, and I always have to take an opportunity just to thank them. I know this is tough. People are sacrificing so much just for even an opportunity to get back to some sense of normalcy, and it's a shame that when you have a small portion of the population that you have to direct policy towards to try to get them to and get on board to keep the rest of us safe.
What do you do when you roll up into my mama and they're serving food? Do you arrest anybody, or do you just go in there and give them a polite warning and say, hey, idiots, break it up? How does that work?
So far, it's been educational. We go and they become compliant and disperse, and we go on our way. But I tell you what, I've issued an order yesterday that after 3 weeks, we've done enough education. It's if someone's non-compliant, then it's time to place them under arrest. And we're seeing it some of the places. So far we haven't. But if you go somewhere and this person becomes non-compliant, or we have to go back for a second time, it's time to take action.
If you have to go back for a second time, you should shoot somebody in the foot.
Yes. That would help the drain. I'm sure the state attorney might like that, because this is, you know, it's going to be an additional strain once our community gets back on its feet here. Can you imagine how backed up the court system is going to be, because they're only hearing critical cases right now?
Yeah, we were talking about that on Tuesday, when Dom was here, that people are like, if I have jury duty, do I have to go? Because no, right? I mean, it depends on what court you're in, but all those cases are going to be so backed up. Will that work in their favor? Will a lot of people end up, like, for minor things, you think they'll be like, all right, we'll just throw that one out?
I think a lot of cases are going to be mitigated. I think that's what they did in Pinellas County. They dropped their jail population by 1,100. And, you know, there's only so many ways to dispose of a case. So you're either dropping charges, you're doing time served, you're mitigating fines, or you release them on their own recognizance. But, you know, there's only so many ways to get to the end result here. And again, I don't think anyone sitting in jail or introducing a new person in jail that may affect the rest of the jail population is the answer. So, again, it's just using common sense. It's a common sense approach, and using a tremendous amount of discretion. Our jail bookings are down. We normally book around 120 to 150 people a day, and we're doing anywhere between 40 and 50. And I think, again, crime's down. I think a lot of people are staying home. Unfortunately, that small percentage. And I have to tell you what, I watch every arrest that comes into the jail here since this has started. And can you believe most of it is domestic violence, which I get that. We're home. I shouldn't say that's the hard part to believe. I hate it, and I understand it. But the sad part is DUIs. DUIs continue. I don't understand they'll bring liquor to you. There's absolutely no reason to be out drinking and driving. Anything you need is at your disposal. They've did away with every rule to have alcoholic beverages delivered to your home. Why are you in a car out driving around? But every night I look, and out of the 5-6 misdemeanor arrests, probably 4 of them are DUIs.
Yeah, I look every morning on the arrest page, the mugshot page on the Tampa Bay Times, and I'm curious of the same thing. When I see a lot of women that don't look like they, I'm like, you don't look like a criminal. And I look at it, and it's like domestic abuse, and people are getting sick of being around each other. But the fact, I think if they're drinking and driving, they must get drunk at home and be like, I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna go and that. So that's why I wonder if it's even smart to drink yourself to sleep.
Yeah, I might have to hide your keys and forget the code or something. And say something, come up and put them under the couch. Forget where you put your keys. But you're exactly right. You know, you learn, you lose all decision making ability, and everything seems like a good idea when you're drinking, and it's just not.
We're talking to Sheriff Chad Cronister. Tomorrow we've got a big day. We're going to be doing Feed It Forward, which is a virtual food drive to benefit Metropolitan Ministries. Now, I know you for sure know. I know firsthand from being out there with them during the volunteer stuff over the holidays. These folks are there not just during the holidays, but all year round. It's now more than ever. They have more people coming to them for help. And because it's been harder to get out there and donate, we are doing the virtual food drive where we're asking people to donate money. And I know that's probably getting pretty hard, too, because you're getting dinged left and right from different organizations asking for money. But we definitely know that Metropolitan Ministries has done right by this city for a long time.
Oh, they do such a phenomenal job. I mean, I'm very selective what boards I sit on, and out of the 5 I sit on, they're one of them. They just do so much. It's not even, hey, okay, listen, we're going to help you. You've been battered. You have kids. You finally get the courage to leave that abusive partner that you have. Where do you go?
Yeah.
You know, so they not only house them, they educate them. They help them find a job. They educate the kids. They feed them. They do so much, even for the homeless who can't come because they're afraid, if I leave this camp or I leave this park bench, I'm going to lose it. And it's all they believe they have. They go to them. So between everything that they do, they have such a significant impact on our community. But you mentioned that contributions are down. You know that contributions are down to our local nonprofits by 78% in a time when the need outweighs the resources. So this is a tremendous thing that the Cox Media Group's doing. And I tell you what, I can't thank you enough. We're at the Sheriff's Office. We're doing 30 days of Stronger Together, where we pick a different charity every day for 30 days, and the employees at the office are donating to $1,000 to that charity. And our first one was Metropolitan Ministries, and I was hoping it would encourage some others to get involved too. And I tell you what, Monday night I got home, and Paul Levine from Brandon Ford called me and said, hey, every $1,000 that you donate each day for the next 30 days, I'll match it.
Yeah, well, tomorrow they're going to kick off the it's going to be matched by our friends at Budweiser, at Pepin and Grape A. And I know you know those guys, and I think it's time we try to bankrupt them. They have a lot of money, and I feel like now is the best time for us to really abuse them and get as much as we can out of them tomorrow.
Hey, they're phenomenal. I tell you what, anytime you need, this community needs a helping hand, you call Tom Pepin and his group, and they're there. Whether it's a cold beverage, even during the hurricanes, they curtailed some of their production and put water in cans and dropped it to the sheriff's office and all the first responders during the hurricane. I mean, they're that group's so phenomenal. They're always the first ones to step up. This is a great thing you guys are doing. I mean, think about it. You can go onto the Cox Media Group, go on the website, hit the donate button. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Go to Metropolitan Ministries, and if you can't leave a financial donation, you can go in and virtual shop, which you can go in there and say, okay, listen, I'll donate a couple cans of food. You don't know what a difference that makes to someone's life. Yeah. That has absolutely zero.
And listen, let's be honest, everything's a goddamn competition. I can't have my show draw less money than Jerusha.
Right. No
way.
Then
I have to beat you up. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I need everybody to really get up in the morning and make the donation in the morning. Then maybe sprinkle it out during the day. But if I find out the next day that Drew beat us, I'm going to be very upset. You bring up the homeless thing, Chad. I watched on the news yesterday that they are looking at rounding up the homeless people and putting them in hotels so that they can get them off the streets and prevent the spread there, because that's another thing. We can't control everybody, and those poor folks are stuck out on the street, and nobody's really paying attention to them. So as much as we distance ourselves, if they get infected and just pass it among each other, it's never going to go away.
That's exactly right. You'll get caught in that vicious cycle. The Mayor Castor did a great job of setting up a tent city to try to keep them separated. But we'll do the same thing here. The county's going to make the same type of concessions here to have a hotel. We're heavily focused on obviously stopping the spread, but that a portion of that is our homeless population that we have to take care of and keep them healthy, knowing that they can continue this community spread that we're trying to combat.
I bet you could fit at least 4 homeless people in Ben's house. He's got plenty of room there.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of room, especially in his luxury car. I mean, he's good for at least 10.
We're talking to Sheriff Chad Chronister, who has been tirelessly leading this whole thing, and Mayor Castor as well. I mean, we're lucky to look at some great leadership. When you look around the country and you see some of these other idiot leaders, and they're like, well, we're still getting together for church, and we're not going to, we're not going to disband quite yet. We're going to wait. We're going to hold graduations. And you're like,
the
Jesus.
Whole state of South Dakota said, no, we're not going to stay at home.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you see that. You see in some churches choir practice, and then out of 21, I think 13 of them have passed away because of the virus. I mean, bad decision, really bad decision. I have to tell you what, I look around the country and I see how members of their emergency policy group, no one gets along. It's all political driven, and here it's different. Everyone just wants to do the right thing. They put their political agendas aside and help each other. And I tell you what, as difficult as a decision that every meeting is and that I've been faced with, it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done to see a group of people to come together that have such a tremendous heart and want to do nothing but protect this community.
Yeah, I heard Governor Cuomo from New York on the radio with Howard Stern the other day, and he said, look, Trump and I have been going at each other for a while. We're both New Yorkers. We're both hard-headed. We both speak our opinion. But we met and said, listen, this is not the time for that. We need to put our egos aside, and we need to move forward. And he said Trump has done everything he can for the state of New York. He brought those ships in. He was immediate with funding. I mean, that's exactly the mentality that you have to have. And that's, we're fortunate here that you guys are putting your egos aside and putting everybody first.
That's it. I tell you what, it's a pleasure when you get on the phone call. The phone calls are back and forth. Hey, this is what we need. Hey, we have an idea here. It's great that everyone has an open mind again and has a common goal and focus. And that's, hey, listen, what can we be doing and what do we need to do more to keep this community safe? I tell you what, it's one of the hardest jobs I've ever had being on this emergency policy group. But I tell you what, it's one of the most rewarding as well.
Can I ask how much this affects you? I jokingly said I cried twice last night, but I'm not gonna lie, I came pretty close by just watching commercials. You start to see so many things that you're like, the emotion catches up with you after a while, and you see way worse stuff than I do.
Yeah, you hear the different stories. Even in our own agency, we have three deputies that rush out. Someone's overdosing. They give them Narcan. They do CPR, perform those life-saving measures. They bring him back to life. He goes to the hospital and tests positive. Now, the three of them have to be quarantined. Now, two of them, not as bad. They're single. They can be by themselves. We'll send them food. But the third one, I mean, I called him. I call him to check on him, and he's crying. He's like, listen, He's got two small kids. He has two small kids and a wife at home, and he had to go stay at a hotel for 2 weeks. And yeah. my heart just breaks for him. And that's just one story of so many of how many people are sacrificing during this pandemic.
Yeah, it's awful. And like I said, until you're some of these ignorant people, I mean, when you're a guy in ages 13 to 20, you're invincible. You think nothing's going to harm you, but just know that it will. I mean, people are dying everywhere. I read a lot of newspapers every day online, and I open up the Daily News to see what's happening in New York, and every day at least five somewhat famous or prominent people die. And no one rich used to die of this stuff. Everybody gets the AIDS, but Magic Johnson gets away with it. All these celebrities, but now famous people are dying. That's when you know we're in trouble.
I agree. We're going to start launching a campaign with some different celebrities, trying to encourage more people to stay home. The quicker we do it, the quicker we can combat this pandemic, the quicker we can get our economy and our lives back to normal. And I just don't understand this younger generation doesn't understand that. They think that you're exactly right, that they're not going to get it. But it's not them. It's not even their individual responsibility of protecting themselves. It's them going back to their homes and affecting their moms and grandparents that they live with.
Yeah, that's the absolute truth. I started out a little bit, not invincible, but I started out like, all right, I'm good. I only go to Publix or whatever. And then I realized, God forbid, I would have taken home and give it to my daughter. I don't know what I would do.
We couldn't live with ourselves. So no. You're exactly right. That's why we take the precautions that we do.
No. All right. Well, listen, I want to remind everybody tomorrow, starting right at 6 a.m. here, you go to theboneonline.com and you'll see the Feed It Forward logo and you click on it. And there's a donate here button. And like the sheriff said, if you don't have the money to donate cash, you can go do a little virtual shopping, buy a couple cans of green beans. You can do it all right there. It's all easy click through our website. And the folks at Great Bay and Pepin, they're matching it. They've always been great for the community. They've certainly been great for this show and this radio station. And I want to try and make them pay the most goddamn money they've ever had to pay tomorrow because that will only come back around and help the Tampa Bay area. And Chad, real quick on a side note, put the camera on Chad, please, so I can look at his face. If I shoot that alligator in my backyard, just promise me I won't go to jail. I jokingly
told you alligators are protected.
Listen
you
to me,
can't.
But what if it's like, how close does it have to come to my house before I consider it a threat? Because it's getting closer and it's getting bigger.
Hey, if it becomes a threat, you have to call the sheriff's office fishing game. We'll send someone out and relocate that alligator.
Shoot it.
Don't get yourself in a jam. You don't need that negative publicity.
Shoot it.
Hey, but let me ask you that. If an alligator normally gets that close, because normally they're just frightened, deadly afraid of human beings. If they're getting that close in all seriousness, that's because someone's feeding them and they've overcome that fear.
Yes, and I know that for the most part. But in this case, it's because I live on a golf course. And since it was a little baby, it's used to seeing people at a small distance away. But now it's getting a little bit bold about crawling into my backyard and just sunning itself in the yard. Like, in all honesty, it was in my neighbor's yard the other day. I was walking my dog. And the dog saw it, and I thought the dog was going to run over there. But my neighbors have little dogs and little kids. If those little dogs would have went outside, that gator would have went chomp, 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 and it would have been over.
Well, you got to call Fish and Game, have them come relocate that and get that alligator out of there, especially with mating season getting ready to begin. You better get rid of that thing now.
I know. I'm starting to hear womp, womp, womp when I go out at night. I don't need horny alligators in my backyard.
No. You got to relocate that.
All right. I promise you on my citizenship here in the great county of Hillsborough that I will not shoot that particular alligator in my backyard.
Shoot it.
Hey, your word is gold to me. And hey, before we go, I want you to know Nikki and I are going to give you $1,000 to jump kick your campaign as well.
Oh, are you serious? That is
fantastic. Absolutely. We'll be the first ones on the donate page and make sure your show gets kicked off right.
I'll tell you, Chad and Nikki DiBartolo and Chad Cronister have been wonderful to the Calta Family Foundation. The Sheriff's Organization has been, and this is great that you're kicking it off. Thank you so much. And tomorrow, seriously, tomorrow, there'll be record numbers tomorrow, and we're going to really show. This is the one thing that I'm most proud of for as long as I live here is how much the community comes to help each other out. We can fight all we want all the time, but when the crap hits the fan, we always shine. So thank you for everything you've done. Try to get some rest, and I will not shoot anything. And tomorrow, hopefully at the end of the day, we have a big announcement to make that we raised a ton of money.
Hey, good luck. And I tell you what, you're exactly right. When we look back in history, you know, this pandemic, okay, yeah, we're going to see that we've made it through here. But what's going to define us is how we took care of one another. And you're exactly right. I think that's what makes this Tampa Bay community so special. Whenever we face adversity, we come together. And again, that's that whole stronger together. And
yeah.
That's what makes me so proud to live here.
I'm an essential worker. I have that letter that I have to come back and forth to work every day. Do you think maybe I should just be? You should just give me like a car, like a sheriff's car or something, so nobody bothers
Can
me.
Can I just get a badge?
Yeah,
I have a couple of things. I have one dropped off at the house.
I mean, I got my own weapons. I don't need any of your weapons. It's just maybe something that allow me to travel at speeds faster than normal for essential reasons.
Hey, I've been on the interstates. Have you seen the way people have been driving? I think they're trying to take advantage of the fact that we don't want to do as many traffic stops. I have a little bit of a heavy foot, and someone blew my doors off the other day. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? But, yeah, quite the surprise when my Tahoe that doesn't look like a police car lights up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah. Pull them over.
You can see. You know, when you walk up, you just see their heart racing. Good enough. You don't need to tax them with some $400 or $500 fine. You're point got across when they can barely catch their breath.
Now, Chad, when that happens, if we say that's not fair, do we get out of the ticket?
Yeah, because
they didn't see your car. We didn't know.
Yeah, no, that's all. That's all part of this this war on speed.
Right,
everything's fair game.
Write this down. No speeding. Uh-huh. No shooting reptiles.
All right.
Those are the things we cannot do.
See, we got to get back to normal here. There's just two good reasons right there.
Yeah. Chad, thank you, and certainly thank you for your donation. That just shows that you're not just talking about it, but you guys are definitely invested in it. We appreciate it. And that's where Ben is a bad influence on me.
Very bad.
Yeah, I hope never to have to call Ben at 1 o'clock in the morning for any reason. Go, can you call?
But I tell you what, the good thing about Ben, you call him regardless of the time of day, he's going to be there. He's going to show up.
Might not be the answer
you want, but he's going to be there.
Bring a shovel, Ben. Bring a shovel, guys. Thank you very much. Good talking to you, Chad.
Hey, take care. Be safe, everyone. Thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah.